Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The global picture of coronavirus is still expanding. There are now more than 120,000 known cases worldwide. More than 1,000 of those are in the United States. You probably know that New York is using the National Guard to set a containment area in the small city of New Rochelle. Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday said he's not at that point for California, but the approach to quarantines certainly isn't uniform throughout the state. CAP Radio's healthcare reporter Sammy Caola attended a press conference yesterday by Dr. Peter Bielenson, the county's director of health services. There was a lot of information in that press conference. She's here to take us through it. Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me.
To some people, it might seem that Sacramento County is taking a maverick approach.
Sacramento County is the first in the region to say, we're not going to try to contain this virus. It's sort of beyond that, right? It's in the community. It's spreading. We heard Placer County's health officer say the same thing. So Placer and Yolo joined on that strategy. Sacramento was the first to do it. And Dr. Peter Bielenson is sort of being the most transparent about what needs to be done or what he feels needs to be done. And, you know, he's not saying that this is to be taken lightly. You know, he's not trying to underestimate the virus, but he's saying our goal needs to be to protect specific populations. We need to protect seniors, protect people with underlying medical conditions. But if you're a healthy person, he's sort of saying we don't need to quarantine you at this point.
And the California Department of Public Health has talked openly about going from containment to mitigation.
So that doesn't have to come down from the CDC?
No, in fact, it's not coming down from the CDC. The CDC has been, has not been as timely as one would hope.
With changing the
guidance. Yes.
So he is breaking out a little bit in that he's not waiting for the CDC to give guidelines. He's making his own decisions in conjunction with neighboring counties and with the UC system, right? So he's acknowledging that I don't need to be told by the federal government what to do. I know what's right for my community.
The state capital is right here in Sacramento County. So he's the center of government. Plus, it's the area where people are looking for direction. So I can imagine there's been a lot of pressure on him to certainly to be safe, to be conservative, but also to be bold and aggressive with such a big state and so many decisions at hand.
Absolutely. Not to mention we had the first case of community spread at UC Davis just last month. And, you know, he's really trying to combat some of the hysteria and anxiety that we're seeing on social media and really trying to encourage people that this is going to go around. Most people, about 80%, are just going to have mild symptoms, and that the people that are truly at risk are the people who are compromised by their age or by their medical condition.
So the testing situation has been frustrating to people. There was a limited number of tests. I think the governor had used the phrase missteps. There's a slow process in getting results. The communication was inconsistent. Is some of that changing now?
It should be. So what we heard from
there's a qualified answer.
Tests are supposed to be on the way. The Quest lab is coming to Sacramento. There are going to be three labs total. And as you said, by March 24th, we could see 5,000 tests a day. That would be a huge pickup. In Sacramento, Dr. Bielenson says they can only do 20 tests a day. Mm. And that's really not as many as they'd like to do. So they have to triage people. The first people they're testing are healthcare workers who may have come into contact with a patient and very sick elderly people. So someone who maybe was on a cruise ship or maybe knows somebody who has the illness and wants to get tested, they may well have been told, sorry, you're not on the priority list. We have to triage and you can't have a test. This is Bielenson on that.
It takes a long time because we didn't get the test from the CDC until a couple of weeks ago. We only have 20 tests that we can do in a given day. We're prioritizing people based on whether they are a healthcare worker who's been exposed to a patient who should be tested, or seniors who have serious conditions. That's all we're able to test right now, so we triage everybody else. The turnaround time has varied, but it's usually several hours to a day.
I think that's optimistic or stretching it in some cases, because we are hearing, as we did yesterday, that sometimes it's been days. But Northern California's largest school district, Elk Grove, canceled classes this week. And in terms of waiting for tests or deciding how to keep people safe, we are still getting press releases from schools and districts that are making the same decision, but it's a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, and this question of cancellation is something that's getting really varied responses. So in Santa Clara County, we saw the local health department say we're canceling all mass events. The city of San Francisco is canceling some events, events of 50 or more in city facilities specifically. But Peter Bielenson says we're not going to move to cancel anything. Unless it's something that maybe has a lot of seniors, then we should be worried. And here's his take on both schools and events.
So just as in a situation where a large number of kids are absent in a school because of the flu, we would probably recommend closing the school down. Whereas with one case, especially if the person was asymptomatic or had mild symptoms, we would not close the school down. Similarly, if there was a widespread outbreak of lots of sick folks, we might well consider shutting down gatherings, but not at this point.
So you mentioned Santa Clara County, where there have been multiple dozen cases. And in fact, Santa Clara on Monday had one of the three deaths that has happened in the state of California. So canceling events there is different than canceling an event in a county that hasn't had any deaths or a small number of cases right now. But there is serious caution everywhere, as you've mentioned now a couple times, on seniors.
So, yes, the person who died in Sacramento on Monday night was a person in their 90s who was in an assisted living facility. So there's a lot of concern for those closed settings where you have many people that are compromised. So if you're a younger, healthy person and you feel sick at all, it may be a bad idea for you to go into a nursing home or even go visit your grandma. So it's sort of the healthy people need to protect the at-risk people, and the at-risk people need to be cautious. So Peter Bielenson is not canceling social gatherings, but he is telling people who are over 60, and especially people who are over 80, to avoid concerts, festivals, conferences. And he even told me yesterday that they may not want to go to the grocery store if they don't have to. And if they do have to, they may want to limit their trips to once every couple of weeks or go at off hours, because if they get the virus, they are going to be much more likely to have these complications. Whereas among the healthy younger population, it could just go around without too many serious consequences.
So I'm going to add this, Sammy, that a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association from China's CDC, and again, we have to put that in context because this is coming from China, based on 45,000 people with confirmed COVID-19 disease, did show a fatality rate of 14.8% in people 80 and above. So that's a super high percentage in that exactly that higher end of the seniors that you're talking about. So that is an intensive alert. I do have a bit of breaking news here. The World Health Organization has declared coronavirus a pandemic. So this outbreak is now declared a pandemic, which is an acknowledgement of what has seemed clear to people for quite some time. But the belief is that this virus is going to spread to all countries on the globe. You're going to continue to hear more news about this throughout the day. But I think so many people were waiting for what the decision would be. And that frees up different resources, different attention, both in the global sense, but for our country and down to our local level.
This is something I think people were anticipating. I don't know how much it'll affect us domestically and locally. I'd imagine we should keep an eye on the travel restrictions, that those might change. A lot of our listeners have asked, can I fly? There are a list of countries on the CDC website where you may consider canceling your plans to. I know a lot of people are still flying domestically. And if you're healthy and you're going to use proper hand washing procedures, you know, I'm hearing that that's probably okay. But if you're sick, you certainly don't want to fly. And honestly, if you're sick, you don't really want to go anywhere because you could risk
as you said, spreading whatever you have to people that could have really serious complications due to their immune systems already being compromised.
As of Wednesday, this news report says 114 countries have reported cases of COVID-19. I'm going to add a voice to this conversation. On the phone with us is Adrienne Casalotti. She is Chief of Government and Public Affairs at the National Association of Counties. And Adrienne, glad to have you in this conversation.
Thanks for having me. And actually, I'm with the National Association of County and City Health Officials. So we represent all local health departments across the country.
Thank you so much for that. So you're hearing this news, as we've been saying it, from the WHO. What difference will this make to counties across the country?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, people are head down working on the situation within their borders. And as Sammy said, it's not necessarily a surprise that they've been able to call it a pandemic. We've really been seeing that across the world, but it does add that extra layer of emphasis about, yes, we are in this in our communities, but we're also in it as a world and as our nation. And so it really can help galvanize people to hopefully be doing the right thing to keep themselves safe and try not to spread disease to others.
Sacramento County took this big step of saying we're not going to abide strictly by this 14-day quarantine period. What's happening in counties, not only across California, but across the country?
Yeah, so interestingly, Sacramento was very blunt about what they were doing. But I think what they said is kind of a sentiment that's being taken by communities across the country, depending upon the situation locally. So all communities need to assess where they are in response to coronavirus and then act accordingly. And so for some, that's still, we don't have any community spread. We're actually testing, so we would know if we have community spread. And so we really still want to focus on limiting how many people, if someone comes into our community, how many people they interact with. That's that containment side. But it's a spectrum all the way to the broad side of mitigation. It's not that you just drop all things necessarily and start doing a bunch of other things. These things, the different tools in these two buckets are interrelated in a lot of ways. Sacramento came out flat out and said, hey, we've moved on. Now we're in a mitigation phase, and everyone needs to really get on board to help us so that we can slow community spread and really help focus our resources so that they're there for the people who need it.
Well, the CDC had said a while back that cases are going to be tracked better on a local level and, you know, rescinded their control, in a sense, of tracking cases. And now with testing, the same thing happened. You might have heard Dr. Peter Bielenson say there'd been some frustration and some kind of roadblock in the process to testing because of the CDC response. I'm sure that's something you've heard from counties across the country. Has this been a major stumbling block in the arena of doing something about coronavirus in the United States?
Yeah, it certainly has put us behind. So there were a couple different things that happened in testing that people debate as to the impact that they had around developing our own test versus using the WHO-developed test. But then one of the main issues that really happened is they CDC sent out tests, and they were faulty. It wasn't necessarily that the test was faulty, but you need to be able to validate and say, yes, this test is working, and the materials that you needed for that were faulty. So that led to almost a month-long delay, and it was easy to think, well, we only have a couple dozen cases here and there. They're all coming in from other countries. But what that delay really we're now understanding better is it's not that we'd only had a handful of cases. It's that we had only tested a handful of people. And so when you start testing in communities, you start finding more cases. And that's the same in many public health and disease tracking issues. So that's not surprising, but we really are a little bit behind the ball. And so community spread that we're seeing now might actually be the recognition that there's been community spread over the past few weeks.
What's your take on why so many other countries in the world seem to be ahead with testing, seem to have more tests available and be able to process faster?
You know, it's hard to say given just the wide variety of communities and different countries and what their infrastructure looks like. But I think it is important to look at kind of what it means to have tests and what it actually takes to test somebody. So being able to say we have 75,000 tests or a billion tests, whatever that is, you still need to be able to do that work. And it takes people to collect specimens. It takes people in the lab to run the tests. It takes certain equipment that you can only run a certain number of tests at any given time. When you add all those things up, just having the tests on the shelf doesn't necessarily mean that we have the capacity to run them as quickly as some would like.
So we had this initial stage, Adrian, of containment. Now we're into mitigation. And I'm curious, with the WHO's declaration of a pandemic, what do we look to next? There could be this long time of mitigation, and then what?
Well, that's the big question. I think mitigation, one of the things it does kind of signal, especially in the public health community, is that we need to be engaged with communities, but this is going to be a long slog. This isn't something that's going to end next week. It's not going to end in next month necessarily. And so all the attention that people have now to washing their hands or social distancing, staying at least an arm's length away from other people, that's something that we all need to be adopting now, but it's something we'll have to be doing for weeks and for months. And I think that's one of the areas, as you look at it as a global pandemic, is this is not going anywhere soon, and this is going to be with us for a long time. And so it won't just be make changes now that it's March. It's going to be really having to change the way we think about how we interact with other people. And now that it's a pandemic too, it's no longer just a don't go to China, don't go to Italy. You know, it's a much broader awareness of wherever you go in the world, there's a chance that coronavirus has also been there.
It's a challenge to stay pragmatic about the information, to not get too deep in it away or try not to be too frightening. But with the pandemic announcement anticipating that this virus outbreak is going to touch every country in the world, and let's say in the United States it touches every state in some way, do you think that means necessarily that every county, for example, is also going to have cases? How do you hear the announcement?
Well, it really highlights what I think we take for granted, that people understand, and is that viruses don't care what's on your passport. They don't care what county you live in. They will spread, and they're incredibly efficient at doing so. And so looking at it broadly is recognizing that this is something that we are in at the local level, county by county. We're in at the state level, and we're also in a global sense. With pandemic, that word gets people nervous. It gets people scared, and I think that's going to be the next few days of explaining to people, you know, the situation on the ground in your community is still just that. And so as we're testing, we'll have a better sense of where there are cases and how we can use our resources appropriately. Just saying that word, it's an important declaration for WHO purposes, but it doesn't necessarily change the on-the-ground situation from 10 minutes ago to 10 minutes from now.
Important point. Adrian, thanks so much for joining us for this conversation.
It was wonderful. Thank you for covering this.
Thank you so much. That is Adrian Casalotti. She is with the National Association of Counties and City Health Departments. Sammy Cayola is still with me. And Sammy, I wanted you to stay just to address that, about the fact that in spite of this word pandemic and the new declaration, there's still a need for people to stay calm and be able to kind of wrap this into their daily life.
I think everyone can assess their own level of risk depending on whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, whether you have something that compromises your immune system. If you live with an older person or you live with someone with a pre-existing condition, you can decide how you want to navigate your world. The important things to keep in mind here are that sanitation is really important. Some people are practicing social distancing, which can protect others, you know, staying arm's length away. But at least from talking to Dr. Peter Bielenson and other YOLO and Placer health officials, you don't have to shut yourself in necessarily. You know, if you feel fine, if you feel comfortable, can navigate the world. It's a matter of protecting those who are going to have severe complications. So, and also if you are someone who is at high risk, to keep yourself safe by maybe not going out as much. So I think those guidelines we're hearing locally are still
in place, even with the global pandemic that we're now dealing with. As you know, we heard from Adrian Castellotti, every community is different. Every community has a different level of risk. And so I think we can look to our local health officers to tell us what's the situation here. And we know, at least in Sacramento County, that we are seeing community spread, but that the number of cases is not to the point where we're canceling public events.
Well, just for some perspective, the Boston Globe, which is reporting the story right now about the WHO declaring pandemic, said China appears on the verge of stopping its outbreak. It reported only 24 cases on Tuesday, even though outbreaks are occurring and growing in a number of locations around the world, still including Italy, Iran, and the United States. So, Sammy, I know there are a lot of angles to continue exploring on this. Thanks for joining us this morning. And today's reports are really just today's reports. It will be a different story growing and ebbing and flowing in a different way tomorrow.
Thanks for having me.
That is Sammy Kayola, and she is Cap Radio's healthcare reporter. You can find more and ongoing coverage of coronavirus and COVID-19 at capradio.org. When we come back, we are going to shift gears for the rest of the hour. We're going to do a bit of election news. Joe Biden had a big night last night, and former Sacramento Mayor Heather Fargo will join me by phone to talk about her work with women in this election year. So stay with us. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.